Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Kirby. I am one of the pastors here at Living Hope, and really excited to be back with all of you. Last night, I got the joy of going to the SDSU football game, so if I'm a little drowsy this morning, let me know, because they went into overtime, so I got home late. But they won, so that was a win, right? More ways than one. Anyway, so we are in the last week of our series talking about Habakkuk, and Habakkuk's a fantastic little book in the Bible that you could read in probably 30 minutes, but it would take you years to figure out the true depth of Habakkuk and everything going on in there. So it's a beautiful little book. It's a challenging little book. So with the idea that it's so in-depth, we've just tried to hit some major themes. We've tried to hit some big ideas within the book of Habakkuk. And in week one, we said that sometimes, you know, we have questions that God says something or does something that we don't understand. We don't really like it. We don't think it's fair. And we question God. God, why are you doing this? What happened? What is happening? Why is this happening? Is this happening? And we ask the question, can I even ask God that question? Can I even ask God if it's okay? And we came to the conclusion that, yes, it's okay to ask God. And sometimes when in the midst of just life, and it's going hard and miserable, and it's just terrible. Sometimes the best we can do is just hold on. We're going to hold on to God with everything in us. When everything around us doesn't make sense, we're just going to hold on. And that was our plan. And then last week we talked about in Habakkuk 2 about a life in the dip. And what that meant is just really we're kind of at the low point. That we don't see, we don't feel, we don't understand God. We're not experiencing him in any way. And what do we do when we're in that place when everything within us wants to do one of two things? We want to completely ignore that bad things happening, and we want to go back to this great place, a spiritual high that we had, or we decide we're just going to completely blow God off and ignore him. Those are typically the two responses. And the third response that we challenged you on is, yes, hold on. But sometimes when you're in the dip, unfortunately, we have to wait. We have to wait to see what God is going to do and wait to get us out of the dip. And so that brings us to today. After we're in the dip and we've stopped and we've listened for God and we've recognized what he said and we start to write it down and we're waiting, what happens? Eventually, we got to get out of the dip, right? That's the goal. And God is going to help us get out of that dip. We're going to climb out of that dip. And Habakkuk 3 gives us some great encouragement on how to climb out of the dip. When everything around us is terrible and it's horrible, something beautiful and powerful happens in chapter 3. And that's where we're going to be. And we can't have a chapter 3 without a chapter 1 and a 2. But how do we get to a chapter 3? How do we climb out of the dip? And it's a principle found in the New Testament. It's found in the book of James. And it says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete without lacking anything. See, a lot of us, if we're a follower of Jesus, we want that close, intimate encounter with God, don't we? Like, all the time. And sometimes it doesn't happen all the time. Like, we just want to feel an experience at some times, but oftentimes we don't recognize the fact that God is using the dip we're in to recognize his faithfulness, his righteousness. And so sometimes when we are in the dip, we have a hard time recognizing that because we just want that spiritual high. We just want the high point, right? And so it's with that understanding, we're going to jump into Habakkuk. We're going to jump into Habakkuk chapter 3. And it starts with this: a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. O Shigayon, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in your day, in your time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. He's saying, God, I remember you. I remember everything you've done. I have experienced that. I remember the time that you did all of this stuff, but you're not doing it now. Okay? So he's saying, I remember everything you did, but right now, you're not doing it. And if I was honest with you, and you could probably tell me the same thing, that there are seasons in my life where I could experience and feel God more than others. Right? And we just go through, and it's like, I feel closer to God or experience God closer during this time of my life than I do right now, or I did during this time, right? We go through these ups and downs and we have these experiences. It was like, God, you're doing something. You're being powerful. You're being amazing. And then like I wake up and something changes, right? It's like, okay, God, you're not doing that anymore. I'm really confused, right? You could, and you should, I think, but you're not. And I know you can. I know you can. He's saying, God, I remember when you used to. I remember when you used to. So he's remembering. One of my greatest joys and struggles as a parent, is especially when my kids were young, it's when we're playing and goofing around and you find that activity that they love, and it's usually something very physical, like you're throwing them in the air or spinning, right? And they want to do it 500 times, right? Because they love it. They're having a great time. And what does a kid say? Do it again, Daddy. Yeah, more. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again, Daddy. And I'm like, Daddy's old and tired, you know, but we try, right? And we do it. And that's what I envision Habakkuk's doing. Do it again, Daddy. Do it again. That was great. That was great. I don't ever want that to stop as he remembers. I don't ever want that experience to stop. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. I know you can. I know you can. And so he wants these great things never to stop. So when the circumstances change, when life happens and things aren't improving the way we want or as fast as we want, how do we, by faith, climb out of this dip? How do we get back to that connection that, and we understand who God is? We're going to look at three things the prophet Habakkuk gave us to help us climb out of the dip. All right, the first one is this, and we've already kind of talked about it. We're going to remember what God has done. The first way we're gonna start climbing out of the dip is we're gonna remember what we're gonna do. We're gonna look back at his faithfulness, we're gonna look back at his mercy, and we're gonna remember the things that he's done. He's gonna look at some very tangible, visible things that God has done for them in the past. Habakkuk's gonna look back and see this very real thing. It's not some cloud idea, but it's a very tangible, physical thing that he has. At home, I didn't do it. So for if you're a guest with us, I've only been here for 3 months, so you can imagine my house is not close to unpacked yet. So at my house, I have a couple of these totes, and they're filled with memories, right? Some of you haven't. My wife has one that her dad made that is made of cedar, and it's a beast, so I wasn't bringing it. But we open them up, and they're filled with these things, right? They're filled with some memories. They're pictures our kids drew. They're pictures from our youth. They're a memento, right? We have these things, and when we open it up, and we look at that, and like, oh, man, I remember that, right? There is a perfume that we smell. Oh, I miss my grandma, right? There are just things in this box and things in our lives that help us remember. And that's exactly what Habakkuk's doing. He's looking back at these very physical, very tangible things about what God did, and he remembers. He takes these memories and he remembers the goodness of God. Let's pick it up in verse 3. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. Now, for us, that means nothing. What's a big deal about this place? But for them, for the people at that time, that was a very real place. It was a very historical, awesome place, because God's people, they would know exactly what it was, because when God delivered them out of bondage from the Egyptians, he led them through this place. He parted the waters. They walked through, killed the Egyptians, moved through. They went to this very place. They went to this place and found refuge and started this new nation focused on God. So they knew exactly what Habakkuk was saying. They knew this exact location. They knew that place. And so Habakkuk's going, says, I remember this place. I remember this physical place where you experienced and you showed yourself to us. I remember it as clear as day. I remember the stories. Or in the New Testament, And as you can tell, we're going to celebrate today the Holy Communion. We're going to take that physical bread and we're going to take that juice and we're going to remember the sacrifice Jesus made for us on the cross. And we're going to remember. All right, let's verse 4. His, or God's, splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I love this verse. It says, he looked and made the nations tremble. He just looked. It's kind of like when mama looks at you across from church. Nobody likes to look from mom, do they? It's like she just has that look. She looks at you like, boy, right? You ever got that stink eye from mom? Couple times, right? That's what I imagine. It's like God, Habakkuk just knows, like God, all he has to do is look and nations are going to tremble. So he goes through this detailed explanation of remembering God. All of these things about remembering God, where God displayed his glory, he displayed his power, he displayed his control, and he goes through all of this stuff in spite of the fact that is not happening right now. Habakkuk remembers and highlights all of this stuff. He says, I remember when you guided your people by day with a cloud. At night, you guided us by a fire. I remember when you split the seas. I remember when you did all of this. I remember when the waters parted, the torrential rains, the plagues. I remember, God. Now, guess what? You just got to remember. I think you forgot. Ever tell God that? Hey, God, do you remember when? Oh, no, I don't, right? But that's what he's saying is, God, I remember this. Do you? Or have you completely forgotten about us? Have you forgotten about me? Sometimes we have to remember who he is and what he has done. Some of you are saying, I've never had that experience. I've never had this huge marker in my life that I can go back to. You know, the people of the nation, they built these altars, these physical altars, so that when they saw them, they would know exactly where it happened and what happened. And we can look back and say, yeah, I didn't have that big thing. But you know what? You've had things. If you think about it, if you've been following Jesus for any short amount of time, you might have had these things. It's like you come to church and it's like everything that was said, it might have just been a conversation with you and God. Like nobody else is in the room. The message, the conversations you had with people, everything was lined up with you and God. You're in a rough place and a dip and you're pondering and you're questioning. You get in the car and the radio just like speaks to you and it's there. Or there's a point where you're just struggling and somebody comes and they just pray over you. And you know for a fact that God just sent them. At that time, you remember what he did for you. You've got those things that you can go back to and remember. What do we do when we're in the dip? We remember what God has done, just like Habakkuk. He says, God, I remember your glory and your deeds and your power. Renew them in your day. I know you've done it before, God, and I believe you can do it again. The first part about climbing out of the dip is we remember what God has done. The second thing we got to do to climb out of the dip is we accept what God is doing. Now, it doesn't mean we roll over and play dead. It doesn't mean we completely just blow everything off. We don't stop praying. We don't stop engaging. We don't do any of that. But part of it, the thing is, we acknowledge the fact that we're in the dip. We simply have to acknowledge the fact that it's there. Too often, Christians do a really poor job of even acknowledging the fact. Well, I'm a follower of Jesus, this couldn't possibly be happening. And we fail to acknowledge where we are. So if God has spoken directly with Habakkuk, and he says, and he accepts what God is doing, even though he doesn't like it, even though he doesn't understand it, even though he doesn't agree with it, he accepts what he's doing. It's the response that we have when we're in the dip. We can choose to ignore, we can choose to blow off God. But when he has spoken clearly, even if we don't like it, when we hear the message of God, we accept it. And God says, I'm going to use the Babylonians to destroy you. That's not a good message. It's not a very encouraging. So in verse 16, here's what he says. He says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. I want you to hear this. God had spoken and Habakkuk didn't go into denial. He didn't say, nope, that's not going to happen. And just completely ignore the message. This is not going to be a fun season. He addresses it face to face, clearly says, this is not going to be a fun season. Not just fun, I'm putting that lightly. People are going to die. I might die. People I love might die. I don't like anything about this. And he accepts what's going on. It's not denial. But since I have remembered, I'm going to accept God because I know of who he is and the plan he's got. A dear, dear friend of mine, and I might have told you about her before, but several years ago was in a car accident, and her car filled with her son, her daughter, and her husband was hit by a drunk driver. And the unfortunate part of all of this is their daughter, this innocent little child, died because of the drunk driver. And I can't imagine the hurt that she goes through, and every year she has to relive that day. But she has used that thing, and she's come to the point of just not understanding. Nobody can understand why an innocent child dies. But it has happened, and she's accepted. And she's used that thing now, and she talks to drunk driver education classes, and she goes into schools and talks with kids about the personal effect that it has on somebody's life, and the hundreds of people that she has touched and her life has affected. She's an amazing woman. Sometimes, at some point, something is gonna happen to you, and we're not gonna like it. Maybe it's already happening, maybe we're in the midst of it, maybe it happened in the past. We have to try to accept it. This is not going to be instantaneous, okay? I'm not saying, oh yeah, bad things happen, let's go have a party. It's going to take a long time, and it may take years. At some point, we come to accept the fact that God is there. God has never left you. God is with you through all of this. It's not going to be easy, but there is beauty and there is power in whatever you're going through. And it's that chapter 3 type of faith. So the third thing that we're going to learn is we're going to trust what God is going to do. So remember what he did. We accept what he's doing. And we are going to trust what he will do. Okay? He says, Habakkuk, it's very clear in Habakkuk. It says this starting in verse 16. Again, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the Lord, day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. He says, I don't understand. I don't like this. We are getting ours because of the Babylonians, but they should be getting theirs. I don't like anything of this, but it says this in verse 16, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation. I'm going to wait, and Babylon is going to be taken care of because my God is great. My God is sovereign. He still doesn't like it. He still doesn't agree with it. Nobody likes to go through this. But I love that. He has zero, absolutely zero reason to rejoice. None. No reason to celebrate. No reason to accept any of this. But he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will be joyful in God my Savior. When he has no reason physically, emotionally, anything to rejoice. He says, even though the fig tree isn't working, the olive tree isn't working, there's no sheep, there's no cattle, there's nothing good at all, I will trust in God. Maybe you're in that same place. My spouse said, till death do us part, but they didn't follow through, but yet I will trust in my God. My kids, I raised them to live a godly life, but now they're making destructive choices, and I'm scared and I'm worried, but I will trust in the Lord my God. Every month I have a hard time making ends meet. I can't pay the bills, yet I will trust the Lord my God. I pray every single one of us would grow to a place where we'd have a chapter 3 type of faith. The problem is, to get to a chapter 3 type of faith, we have to have a chapter 1 and a chapter 2. We have to have that chapter 1 where we ask questions and we're wondering. And then a chapter 2 and we're waiting. And then we get to the chapter 3. God will prove his faithfulness yet again. And we will have one more thing to look back and say, God was there. God was faithful. Don't get me wrong. I'm not praying that your life would blow up and it'd be miserable. Okay? That's not it. But I'm praying that at some point your yesterdays with God would give you so much hope for your tomorrows. That the trust you have in the yesterday experiences with God would give you a faith beyond measure for tomorrow's experience with God. Verse 19, watch this. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Even though all of this stuff is going wrong, fig tree, olive tree, cattle, sheep, the entire livelihood is failing and crumbling down, he's going to take me to a place on the heights that I never could have experienced. See, the thing is, God can do more in your life and in your faith in the dips than he can ever do on the mountaintop. But we can't have that chapter 3 without a chapter 1 and a chapter 2. How are we going to climb out of the dip when you say, I don't understand, and you start to push back and you don't see it, and all the outward expressions, all the outward things are getting into your life? What are you going to do? You're going to remember the things that God has done. And you start there. You start with remembering what he has done. And you are going to accept what he is doing. And you're going to trust in what he is going to do. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to make this sound super easy. It's not. It's really not. But chapter 3 is coming in your life. Hang on and wait.